SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Harry Palm from CBS Sports to talk college football and a little college rack while we're at it. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, Jerry. I want to start with this poll that's going to come out tomorrow night, you know, because I think the AP poll doesn't matter anymore. All that matters is that Tuesday night poll, right? How many more of those things are they going to put out before we know who's in the playoff? It's not just tomorrow's, is it? This is it?
There'll be a final release on Sunday, which will be the final rankings and the ones from which they build the playoff bracket.
So Sunday is the one that matters then?
Yeah, Sunday, yeah, because the championship games are Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday they will have the final rankings for the season, and then they will build the playoff bracket from that.
All right, let me ask you right off the bat, is Miami out?
Maybe. I've got them projected as my last team in, but the team right behind them is Alabama. Alabama's got one more loss, played a tougher schedule, got some better wins and some stupid losses too. They've liked both of these teams this committee has, and they have let the committee down. So I think it's a coin flip between which of those teams the committee likes most. But I think that, you know, barring upsets on conference championship day, one of those teams is going to get in. And right now, I'm guessing Miami.
Is Arizona State, they have to win the Big 12 to get in, at 10-2?
Yes, the Big 12 champion will be the only team from that league that gets in the field. And if they don't win, they're not 10-2, they're 10-3. And that's not going to be good enough for that team to get in.
Someone asked me today about South Carolina after that win over Clemson. What are their chances with three losses? None?
Well, not great, because their ceiling would seem to be Alabama and Ole Miss, both of which beat them. And this is a committee that has, when it can, respected head-to-head results, especially with teams that have the same record. So Alabama, Ole Miss, both beat South Carolina. It would be unlike this committee to put South Carolina ahead of either of those teams. And if they don't, South Carolina is not going to get in.
Jerry, you know that I hate your school. And I just wanted to say that I have never seen Indiana beat Purdue 66-0 in anything. Swimming, volleyball, basketball, football, golf, tennis. I don't know what it was, but I've never seen anything like that Saturday night.
It was the worst loss in the entire 137-year history of Purdue's program. So, no, they've never done that before, because nobody's ever done that before. The second worst loss in the history of the program was earlier this season when Notre Dame beat them 66-7. So the two worst losses in the history of the program came to Indiana and Notre Dame this season. And you can see why Ryan Walters got the axe, because that's just not a tenable situation. This program is completely cratered at the moment. And it's funny, I had written about Indiana trying to stay in the playoff hunt and that they needed to put up a big number on Purdue. And what I said was, there's nothing wrong with 63-0 that 70-0 wouldn't cure. And Coach Cignetti split the difference on that. So, you know, that's a big number, and that's what they needed. But man, Purdue football has got to find a coach that can turn this thing around. I mean, fortunately, in the transfer portal era, it's easier to do that quickly. But they need somebody who's an experienced head coach and has something innovative, especially offensively.
So Indiana's in.
I think Indiana's going to get in. Yeah, I think they're going to get maybe a double-digit seed, certainly no better than 9. It depends on what happens in some of these. If there's upsets in the championship games, they can get kicked up a little bit. But they're going to get in, but they're going to go on the road for that first round game.
So the big games are coming up. So who do you like in some of these? Iowa State and Arizona State. I had already mentioned the Sun Devils. That's who they're playing, the Cyclones.
Yeah, I liked Iowa State at the beginning of the year, and especially after they beat Iowa. They're a really good defensive team, so this will be a little bit of contrast in styles. Arizona State is going really well right now, so I'm picking the hot hand with Arizona State, but that game is kind of a toss-up for me.
Georgia and Texas in the SEC. How about the Longhorns? First year in the conference and playing for a title.
Yeah, I think Georgia is the best team in the league, and I have all year, and despite the fact that Texas is a top seed, their one loss, Georgia really took it to them in that one loss. So I think that Georgia is good enough to win this game again, and this is the only underdog, or I should say lower-seeded team in a conference championship game that I'm picking, but it's Georgia.
Penn State and Oregon in the Big Ten.
I think it's nice that we're getting a game that hasn't been played yet because everybody at the top of that league didn't play each other this year. But Penn State, you know, if they can get their offense going, they have a chance to give Oregon everything they want. But if Oregon is able to stifle that offense a little bit, take away especially their running game, then I think Oregon's going to get their 30. So Penn State's going to have to be efficient offensively.
Clemson and SMU. I'm surprised Clemson gets it after losing to South Carolina and Miami screwed it up. This is just unappealing to me, this game.
Yeah, well, Clemson, fortunately for them, did not lose a conference game to South Carolina. So it didn't really hurt them in terms of getting into this game. You know, Clemson's probably more talented, but SMU has had a fantastic season all year long, consistent, dominant when it should be. I like SMU in this game.
UNLV and Boise in the Mountain West title game.
Yeah, this is probably the only team that can give Boise a game, but they have to give it to them on the blue turf. I don't know. Ashton Gentry's such a good player. They can ride him, and they have been riding him a long way all season. I like Boise in this game, and Boise has a chance to get a bye, one of the four byes in this tournament.
What about Tulane and Army in the American Athletic? Army's had a hell of a season.
They have. Tulane is probably favored. And I lied because I'm taking Tulane, and they are the lower-ranked team as well. But, yeah, I like Tulane. Memphis really took it to them. I think they're going to bounce back from that. But, the funny thing is, if Tulane wins this game, Memphis may end up being the highest-rated team out of that conference if any of them are ranked at all.
What did you think of Danny Hurley's team's collapse in Maui and how they tumbled all the way 23 spots to number 25 in the polls this week?
How are they still ranked?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't pay attention to the polls ever in college basketball. They just don't mean anything to me. But, you know, UConn, I mean, that's weird. It was just weird, surreal to see that they lost those three games, went 0-3 in that tournament. And Hurley was just losing his mind. And it's funny because he's got a lot of Bob Knight in him, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's got the fiery temper that he could barely control and sometimes doesn't control. But he's a great coach and gets these great teams put together and wins championships. So, but yeah, he's got a bit of work ahead to get this team's confidence back and going the right way. But there's too much talent on this team for this to be a season-long malaise.
Yeah, but I don't think, and I never did, that they were going to win three titles in a row. I commend them for two. That was incredible. But all those guys went to the NBA, and they had Caravan standing there, and they act like they're going to win another title. It's not happening.
Yeah, look, two in a row is hard even when you have most of your team back. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's a tough job, and three in a row is going to be tough. And there's really good teams out there. There's a really good competition this season.
I watched a good game, the San Diego State upset of Houston the other night.
Oh, I missed that one. I'm so immersed in football right now, I'm not getting to watch a lot of basketball, but I saw that score. Houston has got – they've got three losses now too, don't they? I mean, they've played a tough schedule, but San Diego State got smoked by Gonzaga at home just last week, and then they turn around and beat Houston. That's a great win for them.
You know why Jerry doesn't look at polls? That's because he's the king of bracketology. He has no time for these small minion polls when he's so busy getting us ready for playoffs and NCAA tournaments. Jerry, I love you. Super new.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver, hi. I am surprised how quickly Thanksgiving flew by. And now we're 23 days from Christmas. I mean, it's already barreling towards us and in sight. 23 days is like nothing. I mean, it is just, it's full steam ahead for Santa.
It really is. Full steam ahead. Down the stretch they come. As they always say, with a couple of weeks to go before the big guy shows up. Probably won't be leaving much under the tree for Aaron Rodgers this year. Happy birthday to him, by the way. Turns 41 today, Aaron Rodgers does. It was not a good birthday present at
MetLife. I don't wish him a happy birthday at all. I could give a rat's ass about this dude. I really am done with it. I'm done listening to it and watching it and hearing about it. And they're going to win the Super Bowl and the greatest defense in the history of the NFL. That's all I ever hear in this town is how great the gangrene are. You know what they are? They are gangrene. The disease. That's what they are.
Well, it certainly spread yesterday. They had a 21-7 lead in the second quarter after a kickoff return for a touchdown. They were inside the 10. They were going in for more inside the 20 to take a three-score lead when former Jet and former Giant Leonard Williams picks off a Rodgers pass and takes it to the yard on Fox.
Seahawks load the line and bring pressure. Rodgers has it picked off by Leonard Williams. Just the second interception of the Big Cat's career. And is he going to take it to the house? His old house. He sure is. A pick six. And he flips the game on a huge play.
What a facial. I mean, honestly, full-on facial, all bold.
I mean, when you can't let the big fella go 90 yards for a tie. You just can't let that happen if you're the Jets. Either way, 26-21, Seahawks go to 7-5, and they are now by themselves in the NFC West with the Cardinals losing, the Rams getting to 6-6, so they have a game up on those two teams heading into the final few weeks of the season. The Jets, on the other hand, they fall to 3-9. Aaron Rodgers turns 41 today, and man, does he look like he's having a good time.
This is all new to you, and I'm not saying it's you, but do you ever think about that? Maybe you won't be finishing the season on the field, that maybe Jeff or somebody else might be saying, let's make a quarterback change?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll figure it out when we have those conversations.
Yeah.
They want to bend. Don't even let him finish the season. Sit him down. Don't even let him finish. Why not? Well, send him home.
I mean, what's the point? What's the point of him playing? They don't win. He doesn't do anything. And, you know, they keep putting him front and center like he matters. And he doesn't matter anymore. His career is over. And no one wants to say it or talk about it. Everyone's too scared. All you have to do is watch him. He's old. He's washed. This is the end. This is the beginning of the end right here. If he continues, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. It happens to all of them. It's the same way for every guy. 41, 42. What are you, George Blanda? This guy thinks he's George Blanda? Gordy Howe? I mean, honestly, bro, look at your resume. Four MVPs in a Super Bowl, and now you're trash. You're trash. You suck. Like, you can't even win a game ever. I mean, you're 3-9 in the biggest market in the world, and you're an embarrassment. He's been a complete embarrassment. Anyone that wants to argue about it, have at it, because you don't have a leg to stand on. I mean, he has sucked. It's gotten worse every week. He's gotten worse every week. It's just one loss after the next. And then they put him out there like a toy soldier to talk about it with these media vultures that ask him questions like that. Have you ever thought about going home or being benched? And he was real pleased with that question. You could see that. But, you know, he does a lot of interviews. He wastes a lot of people's time.
That is what he does. We always like oniony calls on C2C. Whenever anybody does something a little oniony, we always want to highlight that. Colts and the Patriots yesterday in Foxborough, not the best game of the day on paper, but sure enough, it was exciting. Anthony Richardson hits Alec Pierce with 12 seconds left to go. So what do we want to do, Scotty? What? Let's go for two and go for the win on CBS.
Chance right here, going for two in the lead. Richardson pulls it back. Richardson bangs it in. And the Indianapolis Colts have taken the lead.
Oh, the humanity of it all, but they didn't cover.
They didn't cover, but they did win, and they can tell themselves for another week or two
that at
6-7, they're still alive for the last wild card spot in the AFC. So they can sell you that now as they head into their bye this coming week. Texans beat the Jags 23-20. Texans had a big lead in this game, and they almost yacked it up. The story, though, Scotty, was that hit on Trevor Lawrence by Al-Shaair, which got him ejected. Anticipation today is that there'll be a suspension of some length coming to him. What did you think of that shot that he gave Trevor?
Well, obviously, he's going to get his lunch served, and he apologized today, and no one cares about his apology because, it was a headshot, and he's concussed now, and he's had a nightmare season. They gave him all this money, and he's gotten nothing done. He's just been so awful this year. You know what he should do is go out to dinner with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe they could figure it out together. I mean, they gave him all that money. He's awful. You know what he is? He's Daniel Jones. I mean, this guy, they treated him like he was God's gift to the NFL when he came out of Clemson, and he's gone like this. He went, whoop, and then he went like this. He's like, well, remember that one? Remember the toy where the thing goes up and down like a roller coaster on the wires? And that's his career. His career has gone up a little bit and then down hard. He's awful, too. I mean, he is awful. And so, I got to tell you, I don't wish that on anybody. Concussions, as you know, I get real worked up about concussions. But it might be a blessing in disguise for him. Just finish the season and get it over with because it's been a nightmare.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you didn't know, now you will. Carver High is actually my primary physician. And whenever I have a problem, he always has a direct answer. Painkillers. I told him I was having, because of pneumonia, breathing problems. And he said, take oxys. You'll be all right. Just you won't feel anything. And then go see your cardiologist. So I'm taking his advice. He wrote me a script. I'll be eating those later after dinner, and then I'll be going to my cardiologist Wednesday to see if I'm dying again. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you,
doctor. Just remember when you do that, not only am I not a doctor, but I don't even play one on TV. So remember that when you try to look at that script later and see how that goes for you.
It's amazing that it works.
Let's finish this up, and then we'll get to tonight's game. The Rams beat the Saints 21-14 yesterday. Which was good for me because I had the under 49.5 in that game. So that was very nice to see.
Taysom Hill. Did you notice I didn't say that to DeMario when I had him on today, Davis? I didn't mention how bad his team sucks.
You didn't get to do that, no. And it didn't help that Taysom Hill carted off with a knee injury. He's done for the year. Bill's finished.
He's their best player.
Yes, I would put him in there towards the top. Him and Kamara are really the only guys that matter on that team. And now he's finished as well. So the Rams, as we mentioned, now 6-6 and one game back of Seattle in the NFC West. And I believe they have one more game with them, so they're going to get a chance. Yeah, I don't know. None of those teams really get me excited, to be quite honest with you. The Rams, Seattle, Arizona. None of them matter. And I think those are the types of teams that Minnesota and Green Bay are going to go into those teams that first wild card weekend, and they're probably going to beat them when they go and play them on the road. You know, they'll go and they'll beat teams like that. And then they'll lose to the Lions and the Eagles. That's how it will go. Speaking of the Lions, we already kind of mentioned Lions, Cowboys, and Packers all won on Thanksgiving Day. The Chiefs beat the Raiders on Black Friday. They clinched a playoff spot. But the one big news from all those Thursday and Friday games was that the Bears did chop Matt Eberflus. Awful finish. I'm still trying to figure out how they didn't stop the clock there at the end when they were in field goal range to at least tie that game, possibly. But they
deserved to be fired. The way,
and remember, that's
that. Like what a horrible coach. Like who's that? Like I've never seen anything worse.
In a 5-week span there, you had what, the Hail Mary game, the blocked field goal with the Packer game, you had the Viking game in overtime, that game against the Lions. That's a lot of late game nonsense for him to be able to keep the job. So Eberflus chopped. Thomas Brown.
You think someone else will hire him as a head coach? I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
No shot. No shot. He's got a law. He's got to go. He's way back down the line now. He'll go back to being a defensive coordinator somewhere else next year, and he should go do that job for a
Question,
while because he's not a good
Cowboys
head coach.
Cowboys get to 500.
I don't think so. Just because, who do they got left here? They're 5-7. They play the Bengals next Monday. Bengals, Carolina, Tampa, Philly, Washington. Well, I think they'll be one under.
Beat Washington. They beat their ass.
How about 8-9? 8-9. They'll finish a game. They'll finish on the wrong side of, because nobody gets to 500 anymore with the 17 games. So I'll say 8-9. I say they'll go 3-2 over their last five games. So that's how I think they'll come back
from the dead. I mean, they really are in range of being, you know, the feasibility of 7-7 likelihood to that happening. I mean, honestly,
The Bengals on next Monday night at home. They have the Bengals next Monday night at home. Now,
who can't beat the Bengals?
The Bengals can't stop anybody. I'm not sure that Cowboy D can stop Burrow and Chase, though. That would be my worry there in that game. I'm not sure that they'd stop them. But I think the Cowboys would be able to score points in that game. So there you go. They're all of Week 13, which will finish tonight with the Browns and the Broncos. We will give you all of those numbers. And even though the Browns suck, I'm giving you Jameis Winston anyway because he's funny and he makes us smile. So we'll play Jameis Winston. Even though the Browns suck, we'll play him. And I've got touchdown picks tonight as well. So we have that.
Everyone loves famous Jameis. And I think they're going to have their hands full tonight in the thin air in Denver against that team and that defense. And I think Bo Nix is flat out exciting what he's doing in Denver.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So the second half kickoff here, Carver High, as we turn the corner.
We are turning the corner, and yes, it is the second half kickoff here on C2C in Week 13. We'll conclude tonight in Denver, a mile high for the Broncos and the Browns. Now, the Browns stink, but at least they're a little bit more exciting when Jameis Winston is playing quarterback. And that means that we get Jameis Winston sound every single week. Let's just say that, say what you want about the city of Cleveland, Jameis Winston is beginning to know and love it.
If I'm comfortable everywhere I go, every room I step in, I'm comfortable. But no, I've truly embraced this city. You know, I love the hard nose. I love the beautiful trees. You know, in three months out the year. You know, it's truly everywhere I go. I always talk about when I have my introductory. I talk about like I'm grateful. And it's as simple as that, man. I'm grateful for, you know, the fans challenging me. I'm grateful for the fans lifting me up. I'm grateful for you all challenging me and lifting me up, man. It's a process that I really take to heart, man, because I feel like all of us are in this together, and that's just how I approach it.
My man, he's crazy. But you know what? He knows how to play. He can sling it. He can have, you know, good games, bad games, but he's kept a job in the NFL, and he's kept that paycheck coming for years. So people can say whatever they want. He's still there.
And I'll tell you what else he does really well. And you know what I like to do before primetime games with you? I'm going to give you numbers. It's just what it is. How about Jameis as a dog of 6 or more points against the spread? 13-5-1, 72%. Your boy Jameis, he might not win some games, but he takes it to the window, and he gets us some covers here. So, and that is the same situation we have tonight. 6 or more points, 6.5 for the Broncos this evening. 41.5 is your total for Denver, who's looking into their bye. They get their bye after this week. They're holding that last spot in the AFC playoffs right now, and they would like to keep it with their 7-5 record and get to 8-5.
Are you grabbing the 6.5 with Winston?
I'm on Famous Jameis tonight, baby. Give me the 6.5 with the Browns. I don't think they win the game, but I think he puts another win on that ATS total as a dog of 6 or more.
Yeah, I think they I hope you're right. I hope you hit the bet. I think they lay an egg tonight in Denver against that defense, and he has problems against Surtain and the rest of them. They are really tough, and particularly at home. And we all know the deal. When you play there, A, it's going to be freezing. B, it's going to be no air. So by the third quarter, they're shot. So let's see them take on that defense out there in that high altitude. It's a problem. I've seen team go there and lose. I've seen the Steelers play the greatest game on earth in a divisional semi there that I've ever seen a team lose in my life was the day Brister and Merrill Hodge lost that game at Denver with 1 second left. Braxton over the top made me sick to my stomach.
Well, I gave you a good Jameis number. I'm going to give you good Bronco numbers too. I got a good Bo Nix number for you well on the other side. Well, first of all, the Broncos are 9-3 against the spread this year. That's tied for the best in the NFL. When we do our thing every week, they're always right at the top. And Bo Nix as a favorite this year, 5-0 against the spread. 5-0 against the spread as a favorite as he heads into tonight at home against the Browns. So one of those trends going to go in the other direction for us this evening for those two. So we shall see. But I do have, as always, I got tutties for you for tonight. I would never not leave you. And we did pretty good on Thanksgiving Day last week. We did have a few guys from the Thanksgiving slate, which was always nice. Here we go for this evening. Cortland Sutton with the first touchdown tonight, 7-1. Make sure you play him as the anytime as well. But we're going to go that to start the scoring off. Jerry Jeudy, same angle I did last Monday night, Scotty, with Gus Edwards against the Ravens. Facing the former team, we went to the window with Gus. Let's go to the window with Double J here. Plus 230 for him back where he started his career. And Bo Nix, plus 280. He's run a bunch of them in this year. Let's get another one tonight. Big night ahead for us.
A little short stack. Three tutties tonight, and we're going large. I like it.
Going large. I don't know if there's a lot of points in this game, so I want to make sure that I've got a couple of my best options out there. So Sutton, Jeudy, and Bo Nix is where I'm going to lay my head. There you go. All your NFL for this past week. We got a lot to do. This is the last week of byes, by the way, thank God. There's six teams on a bye.
Oh, God.
And then the last 4 weeks is a 4-week sprint to the finish. Everybody will be playing, thankfully. All right, I have a lot of college football to do, so I want to get an early riser start on that because I know we're going to spend a lot of time on a couple of these games, including Michigan on Saturday afternoon beating number 2 Ohio State 13-10 in Columbus. That is 4 consecutive wins for the Wolverines over the Buckeyes, and more specifically Ryan Day. There was a lot that happened. Both offenses, it didn't seem like either wanted to win, but the Wolverines were the ones who finally came out on top. We'll talk about the brawl that happened out on the field afterwards. Let's just say Ryan Day was a little stunned by the loss.
I mean, we're very disappointed. You know, never thought this would happen right here. And, you know, we're expecting to win this game and then go play in the Big Ten championship game, and neither of those things happen. So, you know, we don't know what's going on now. You know, this is just too soon to try to figure out what's next. But once we have more information in about a week, we'll figure that part of it out. I'll bring them together here pretty soon and talk to them. But there's a lot of guys who are crushed right now.
I mean, it's amazing to me that they're, still number four, that they lose to a 5-loss team, their arch rival, and nothing happens to them. They lost at home to Michigan. Michigan was 7-5, and they beat them, and nothing happens to Ohio State at all. I mean, Miami loses. Christ, are they even ranked anymore? I mean, what is the deal with this fascist team that never, anything bad never happens to them? They lose games and they don't go anywhere in the polls. I mean, they love Ohio State. They're so in the playoff, it's not even funny. Can you explain that to me? How in God's name do they go from 2-4 with a loss to a 5-loss team? They got humiliated in their building and nothing happened to them. That's some bullshack. That they should be like Alabama fell out. Everyone, Georgia fell out. Why does Ohio State get to stay where they are always? And explain this to me. This guy, anyone else loses 4 in a row to Michigan, they get fired. This guy's not even, what is he, Teflon Don?
Well,
is he Gotti?
I think he is going to get fired. I don't think you can fire him today because they're going to make the playoff and there's still going to be playoff games. And unless this guy makes, in my opinion, the championship game, maybe the semis, but the championship game, I think he's getting whacked. I think he's finished in Columbus. They just can't fire him yet because now you have this 12-team playoff that they're still going to back into and be a part of. But I'll tell you this. I hope they get a matchup in that first round with a team. I want to see an SEC team play them, whether that's Tennessee, Alabama, whoever goes in. That Will Howard stinks. That kid they got playing quarterback, he's no good at all. And he's got like 5 NFL wide receivers on his team, and they don't let him throw the ball to any of them because he stinks. They're going to lose that first game if they play anyone even remotely decent in the first round. I think they're going to lose.
You know, it's amazing to me.
And he'll be chopped.
It really is, because obviously I watched the game and I was, rooting for Michigan because I hate Ohio State dead. And I don't care. I'll never forget Miami, Ohio State National Championship game and that Porter ref. As long as I live, I'll never forget. So I hate them for the rest of my life. I don't care what you think of me. Hate me all you want. I like it that way. So we're clear.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So I was wrong. It was not 2-4. It was 2-7. So they dropped 5 spots. And you brought it up. Like, Indiana lost to them in Columbus and fell 5. They lose in Columbus to a 7-5 team, their rival, and they fall 5 spots. Explain that to me, and then tell them your story of after the game, how they all whined and started all the fights.
Well, yeah, look, I personally feel that they should have fell more than 5 spots. Now, are they still going to be in the playoffs? Yes. Does the AP poll matter? No. I think what matters is where the crack crab and lobster people put them tomorrow night. But I would bet you they're not going to drop them more than 5 either, because they love Ohio State and they want Ohio State in a big game. And I think that they're setting up Ohio State Notre Dame now, with Ohio State going to South Bend. And let me just tell you something, bring them on, because that Will Howard, he's not beating Notre Dame in South Bend. That defense, the Irish defense, is good this year, and they owe him for last year when they came to South Bend and they won that game on the last second and they beat the Irish. So go ahead, bring me Ohio State to South Bend in a couple of weeks. And then after the game, they were completely lifeless during the game. So what do they do afterwards? They show their first fight all day because a couple of the Michigan kids were putting the flag, which is dopey, I get it. This has gone on for a while, planting the flag on the rival's 50-yard line, which they'll probably outlaw after Saturday, considering how much it happened all over the country. But then Ohio State decides that they got a little fight in them when there's a fight out on the field. How'd that turn out for everybody? What an embarrassing situation. It was so bad that the cops were pepper spraying them in the middle of the field while Ryan Day stood there going like this. What's going on? What's happening? Like, that was a disgraceful situation after that game.
It was, and it led to multiple incidents all over the country in every big game. Like, every single big game, I sent you a video montage of, like, five or six brawls breaking out in college football games. So you're right. I think they'll ban the flag planting, but it'll never stop fights from happening in rivalry games just because they're not planting flags.
Florida State. Florida tried to do it at Florida State.
BYU, Houston.
BYU, Arizona State. They forget the flag. They tried to put the trident in the middle of the field at Arizona. Did you see the mascots throwing down? The Sun Devil and the Wildcat. That was pretty good, too, on the other side. There was no fight after the game from the Miami Hurricanes, though, up at the Dome in Syracuse, as they lose 42-38. Critical moment here, and I'm sure you'll agree, was I thought Cristobal kicking the field goal when they were down 42-35 in a game that no one was stopping anybody. I would have let Cam Ward try to get you a touchdown there. I'm sure Syracuse would have scored anyway and probably won the game, but can we at least tie it and let Cam Ward try to score? But either way, you tell me what you think after we hear from Mario Big Chest, who actually stood there after the game trying to sell you that Miami's resume was still good enough to make the playoff.
Well, you reemphasize reality. You know, this team won 10 football games, you know, against some really good opponents. And this last game came all the way down to the wire. You know, our two losses are our one possession left and a touchdown. You know, that makes us one of the better teams in the country. We can control, so we have to wait and see. But certainly this team has really worked hard and busted its butt to put its best foot forward.
I wouldn't argue with him about those facts that they lost two nail biters, but it is what it is. They lost them. You lost. So I'll give him credit. I thought after 2 years he was horrible, and now I think he's got things under control in Coral Gables, and he understands they need to spend, you know, $15 to $20 million to have a loaded football team every year. And they can do that at Miami because the kids that go to school there pay $80,000 a pop per year. So they have more money than God at Miami. They're one of the richest schools in the country, and they can buy football teams, and that's what they need to do. And I think he can actually coach them to 10 wins every year. I think they're a 10-win factory if they just spend the money. They're just like Ohio State.
I agree. I think that, and obviously he spent it right on the offense this year. Now, he's not going to have Cam Ward next year, so he's going to have to go buy another quarterback. But he also needs to buy some guys on defense because I think that's what really rued the day for Miami this year was even the games they won, like the Cal game and the Louisville, like they gave up a billion points in those games, but Cam Ward was just so good that he was able to win the games on his own, scoring 50 points. So he needs to go buy some defensive players this year with all that Miami money. And then they'll be in better shape next year. That's for sure. Number 10, Indiana beat Purdue 66-0. Signetti sweep the leg. No mercy for him in West Lafayette against the Boilermakers, as we talked about. Notre Dame beat USC 49-35. USC actually was back and forth here, Scotty, for a while in this game. And then the Irish D got a couple pick sixes in the fourth quarter that put the game away for them. I thought Leonard played well. And USC did what they did all year, right? They were in games and they never finished them. That's what USC was the entire season. Just couldn't close out games.
You got to admit, Notre Dame and this team, Freeman, did a hell of a job. After they lost to Northern Illinois, you would have thought the world had ended, like that their season was over, and they ran the tables. And they are going to host a playoff game in Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend. And like you said, good luck playing there. It's a tough place to win, especially when the stakes are high. I think he did a hell of a job, and I think he secured his job in South Bend for some time.
I agree. Him getting to the playoff. Now, and I think he's gonna win this game no matter who he plays. But him, the way that they responded off of that loss, didn't just win every game. They, for the most part, dominated every game all the way to the finish, and now they're going to get themselves a home game, which is huge. Tennessee got down 14, came all the way back to beat Vandy. They'll also be in the college football playoff at the end of this week because they don't play again, and they're not going to lose to anybody. They're going to be in.
I think it would be amazing if Freeman took Notre Dame to a national championship game and actually won it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so another team that's in this thing for certain is Penn State. They had their problems against Ohio State, per usual. That's the, you know, yearly norm for them. They can't beat Ohio State, but they can beat everyone else, and they're in it, and they did it to Maryland. That was easy work.
It was, and things are a little different for Franklin this year because usually he loses to Ohio State and then never gets to play in the Big Ten title game because of that. But now with the new format this year, Ohio State getting a second conference loss against Michigan means Penn State will now play Oregon on Saturday night in Indianapolis for a chance at a bye in the college football playoff. He's going to be there no matter what. Now, I don't know. I'm sure you saw the end of this game. Penn State won 44-7, and Franklin put another touchdown on the board with no time left with his backups in the game, and that really upset Maryland coach Mike Loxley, who tried giving Franklin the business at midfield at the handshake. Well, Franklin, Scotty, let's just say, wasn't having any of that after the game.
My job is to put the threes and fours in the game. But when the threes and fours get to go in the game, they get to play football. Those guys deserve to play football. Your ones are in the game. You were trying to score. We're trying to score. On top of that, you're playing cover zero. If you don't want, play cover two. So I'm good with it. And on top of that, there's also a change in college football. We are trying to play as long as we can, make the playoffs, and be seeded as high as possible. And scoring as many points and a point differential matters. All that matters.
That's right.
And if you don't get that, it's really not my problem.
And you know what else? Let's just get real here for a second. Maryland sucks in football, and they always have. So if you don't like it, then beat them, and you can't beat them. So shut the Pharrell up. I mean, honestly, the Maryland football. Christ, they're not even good in basketball anymore either. They're good
Maryland, like,
it's a good party school. I know everyone likes to go there, and it's hard to get in. And then when you get in, you just terrorize alcohol for 4 years. So I know they're having fun down there. Trust me, you. But they don't win in sports.
I don't like Franklin, but that was pretty good from him. He gained a little bit from me after that one, after the game. That was nice. South Carolina beat Clemson 17-14.
He doesn't beat ranked teams ever.
In fact, I think, and we obviously are going to be doing this all week, I think he's going to get smashed by Oregon. I think Oregon's going to win the game by 10-plus. I think Oregon's going to beat Penn State. Penn State never shows up in these games. Ever. And I don't think they're going to on Saturday night either. Number 15, South Carolina, beat number 12, Clemson, 17-14. Now, there are people, I heard you ask Jerry about this earlier, there are some that think that the way South Carolina finished the season, that maybe they should be included in the playoff. Here's what Shane Beamer, their head coach, thinks.
I do believe we deserve a spot in the 12-team playoff. To me, it's hard to – I get it. The committee has a really tough job. They have to choose the 12 best teams, but I get it. We got three losses. I understand that. But it's hard for me to sit there and say that we're not one of the 12 best teams in the country. When you look at our strength of schedule, when you look at our wins on the road, I think we're now 4-1 on the road this year in tough environments. We're not going and playing in front of 20,000 people on the road like some teams do in this country.
They blame one of 100,000. He's right. Mm-hmm. Listen, you know, something has to be said for the teams that get it done late in the season, like they have all the big games on the road and the wins. Going to Death Valley and beating Clemson, I don't care if it was out of conference. They beat Clemson in Death Valley. That is a difficult task for any team. And he's done a hell of a job coaching at South Carolina. The Gamecocks are tough. I honestly do not have a problem with the committee considering putting him in as a 12.
I think that it's...
Who would you rather see six in a row. Or South Carolina play in a playoff game?
Well, look, that's a different story. The rules are that Boise's going to be in because they're the group of five champion.
Not
that's,
when they lose that, UNLV.
I'm on UNLV in that game. Let's go. Let's get the Reds going this week. We'll come back. We have figured out the Big 12 mess. Who's going to be playing in that title game? I'll tell you that when we come back.